So we learned last week the Mishnah, where we learn about the idea of Kiddush HaChodesh. So you need Edim to come before a Beis Din and be Mekadesh the Chodesh. They have to give testimony that they saw the Levana, and now that it's supposed to be Rosh Chodesh, the Beis Din has to accept the Edim. They have to look into it and make sure the Edim are telling them the truth. And then, once we get past that hurdle, we then move on and say Mekudesh Mekudesh. That's the next step of the process. So we mentioned last week that there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin that asks a stira, a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk says, "V'shaftu es ha'am mechaleis." We have an obligation to have a din Torah put together at all times, whether it's during the day or at night. On the other hand, we have a pasuk that says, "V'haya b'yom hanchilu es banav," that the only time that you're able to have a din Torah take place is during the day, b'yom. So the Gemara asks this question: which one is it? Can you have a din Torah at night, or can a din Torah only be done during the day? And the Gemara gives a very simple answer. Kan tchilas din, kan gemartin. The Gemara says you're only allowed to start a din Torah during the daylight hours. But if, let's say, you have a din Torah that has already begun, and now we're up to the gemartin, so the Beis Din can sign off on a psak, even though it's already night, even though it's already Laila, because that's why the pasuk says, v'shaftu es ha'am mechaleis. You're supposed to have a din Torah run, whether it's day or it's night. That's referring to the gemartin, because the gemartin can be done by Yom Uvalayla. That's what the Gemara says. Now, there's a surprising comment of the Sma in Choshen Mishpat. The Sma is one of the commentaries on the side of Choshen Mishpat, on the page. So in Simen Hay in Choshen Mishpat, the Sma writes the following. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you have a Suma, B'shtei Einav, if you have somebody who is not able to see with either of his eyes, he is not able to go ahead and be one of the Dayanim on a Din Torah. We feel very sorry for him, but he's not able to be a Dayan. Why? So the answer is because the Shulchan Aruch says, Mishem Dehavi Etzlo Laila. Because for him, that's like it's nighttime. The same way you're not allowed to have a Din Torah by Laila. So therefore, a Suma, who basically it's nighttime for him all the time, is not able to be one of the people chosen as a Dayan on a Din Torah. Says the Sma, now let's take that a giant step further and flip it. What if you say that a Suma B'shtei Einav, somebody who's blind in both of his eyes and cannot see, is not able to be a Dayan on a Din Torah because for him it's Laila? Well, says the Sma, what if it's nighttime and we turn the lights on for all of us who are able to see? So if you turn the lights on, if the same way a person who's blind, it's like it's Laila during the day, so if you turn the lights on, it's like it's daytime at night. So the Sma writes a Chiddush La'alacha, that yes, the Gemara tells us that you're only able to have a Gemara Din B'Laila. However, he says, if you turn the lights on, now it automatically turns into day. Now it's considered Yom. And now, says the Sma, you can even begin a Din Torah B'Laila, because that's considered like day. That's the Chiddush of the Sma. That's what he wants to suggest. Now, this has to be understood, because let's say we have a bunch of mitzvahs that the Mishnah tells us in Megillah Daf Chaf can only be performed by Yom. For example, you're only able to do Mikra Megillah during the day. You're only able to shake Lulav during the day. You're only able to light Neiros Chanukah at night. That was a trick. So you can only have certain mitzvahs that can be done by Yom, certain mitzvahs that can be done by Laila. Would anyone in their right mind say, well, I want to shake the lulav at night, so I'll turn the lights on, now it considers itself like it's day? Nobody would say such a thing. Obviously, that's preposterous. You would never even suggest such a thing, that you should be able to be mekayim your mitzvah of shaking lulav or tkiyas shofar or any other mitzvah that has to be performed by Yom. Nobody would ever say that as long as you flip the lights on, you can do it by Laila. So where does the Sma come off to say here, when the pasuk says that V'haya b'yom hanchilu hazbanav, but Din Torah has to take place during the day? So how does the Sma say, oh, if you turn the lights on, all of a sudden it becomes day in the middle of the night? How is that to be understood? So the understanding of the Sma is that over here, this is not just an ordinary gzeres hakasav like we have by every other mitzvah. The Torah says, shake the lulav only by Yom. The Torah says, blow the shofar only by Yom. It's a gzeres hakasav. Over here, the Torah says, V'haya b'yom hanchilu hazbanav. You have to have a Din Torah only during the day. Says the Sma, this is not just the Gzeres HaKasav, there's a reason behind it. The reason why is because a Dayan has to be able to see all of the evidence that's before him. A Dayan has to be able to read faces of an aide that's coming forward to give testimony. Everybody knows you can read someone's facial expressions when they're telling you something and understand often what's happening behind the words that they're saying. So therefore the Sma says this is not just an ordinary Gzeres HaKasav that, oh, Din Torah has to be Vayom because the Pasuk says so. No. The reason why the Pasuk says so is because the Pasuk wants that a Dayan should be able to recognize what good testimony is and what bad testimony is. Therefore, says the Sma, as long as you turn the lights on at night, now you're back to square one. And there's no reason to say that that Din Torah cannot take place during the day.
So a blind person can never be a Dayan because he can never see the face of the...
That's clear. A blind person can never be a Dayan. That's the assumption that the Sma began with. Correct, yeah.
So
Does Ki Hashocha Yaver Chachamim have any place?
Absolutely. The Vilna Gaon writes about that. Hashocha Yaver Inei Chachamim, he says that it has a lot to do with the fact that now you're going to be blinded. You're not going to be able to see and read facial expressions. And you know, my father likes to comment. I think it's also a Vilna Gaon. But one pasuk says, Yaber Inei Chachamim, and the other one says, Yaber Inei Pikchim. What's the difference between a Pikach and a Chacham? Unfortunately, we all know there are many, many Chachamim in the world who have no Pikchus, who have no brains. You can be a genius, but you have no common sense. Often you have somebody who has a lot of common sense and is not a Chacham. You have somebody who's street smart but doesn't understand the knowledge, the wisdom that they're supposed to have with life experience. So the Torah over here mandates that a Dayan has to have both of those qualifications. Number one, you have to be a Chacham. You have to know the law. If you don't know the Halacha, how are you able to think about being a Dayan? How are you going to be able to pass a Shaila? At the same time as you're a Chacham, you also have to be a Pikeach. You also have to understand how to read people. My father very often gets upset when he sees Dayanim sitting on a Din Torah and he says, this Dayan doesn't even know how to read anyone's facial expressions for anything. So now you're going to tell me he's going to be the one to decide a case and figure out who's saying the truth and who's not? You don't even know how to do anything. This is also why my father's very opposed to the whole institution that we have nowadays of Ta'anim. Nowadays you have a Din Torah, and you have that the Baal Din himself, the one who's involved in the story, sits on the side, and you hire a lawyer, a Ta'an, to come and represent you. We don't recognize that. We don't believe in that system. We believe everybody has to come forth and set forth their claims, and we should be reading your facial expressions and everything about the way that you're presenting your case in order to help us figure out who's saying the truth and who's not. If you're going to just sit there quietly and not say a word and just send someone else in your place, that's not really going to be an honest way of having a Din Torah. My father was once involved in a case where he asked the Baal Din a question. He asked the person involved a question, and the Torah slapped the Baal Din's mouth and told him, don't answer him. So my father said, this is a absolutely unjust Din Torah. Here I am asking a pointed question to the person himself, and the Torah is saying, it's not in your best of interest to answer, and he slaps his hand over the face of the Torah and says, of the Baal Din, and says, don't answer. How can you say don't answer? That's the point of a Din Torah. We should be able to read everything that the people involved are saying. We should be able to understand what it is that they feel the story took place. And if we don't have that, that's something that's very lacking. So over here, that's what the Sma emphasizes, that it's very important when we have a Din Torah that the Dayanim should be able to see. And that's really all we need. Therefore, says the Sma, as long as you're going to have the lights on, even if you do it balayla, that's not going to be an issue at all, because that now is considered like Yom, as far as a Din Torah is concerned. Now, Rav Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chachma, writes on Chumash that perhaps, according to the Sma, we can now understand. We have two psukim. One pasuk says, "V'shavtu asam mechaleis," make a Din Torah whenever you want. Another pasuk says, "You can only do it biyom hanchilu asbanav," only do it during the daytime hours. Says Rav Meir Simcha, I have a very simple answer. In the Midbar, we know they had an amud ha'esh. They had a fiery cloud that went with them, traveled with them all the time, was guiding them of how they're supposed to go around in the desert. And therefore, he says it was always considered like Yom. That's why the pasuk says, in the days of the Midbar, v'shavtu asam mechaleis, because you had the lights on. You had the lights on. Even at night, it was perfectly light outside. So there was no reason to say that they shouldn't be able to have a Din Torah at night. However, when the pasuk says, b'yam anchilu asbanav, that's talking about a normal case. In a normal case, when we don't have an amud ha'esh at night, that's where the pasuk says, you are not able to have a Din Torah b'layla. It's a very fancy Meshech Chachma, a very beautiful pshat, but it's k'neged the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that the answer to the stira in the psuk is whether we're describing Gemar Din or Tchilas Din. Everybody with me? Whether we're describing Tchilas Din or Gemar Din, the Meshech Chachma now comes up with a fancy answer, but that's not what the Gemara tells us. So let's leave the Meshech Chachma for now. Either way, based on this opinion of the Sma, the Chasam Sofer says you can answer a very fundamental question that many Achronim deal with. The Achronim are bothered with the following. The Gemara tells us in Masechah Shavuos, Daf Chavtes and Daf Lamed, V'amdu Shneha Anashim. You have to have two witnesses come forward and present their testimony in front of the Bezdin in order to have a proper Din Torah. So the Gemara learns from there, Anashim V'lo Nashim. Women are not able to serve as Edim on a Din Torah. It's Exeris HaKasim. Says the Chasam Sofer, many Achronim are bothered, why do we need a special pasuk to teach us that women are disqualified from offering testimony in a Din Torah? Don't we know? A Din Torah can only be performed by Yom and not by Laila. So shouldn't it be a regular mitzvah saseh shehazman grama where nashim are peturus? This is a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah that you're supposed to have honest dinei Torah. Part of the process is we have to have witnesses. Those witnesses are only able to come during the day. So it's a regular mitzvah say shazman grama. And many achronim are bothered. Why do we need a separate pasuk of amdu shnei anashim, which disqualifies women? The women are out anyway, without the pasuk. Well, says the Chasam Sofer, it's very simple. According to the Sma, who suggests that even at night you're able to have a din Torah as usual, because as long as you have the lights on, everything's fine. You cannot call this a mitzvah say shazman grama. A din Torah is something we're able to do by yom or by laila. As long as the lights are on, anyone can come. And therefore, the Gemara has to say, how do we know that women are not going to be able to serve as edim on a din Torah? The answer to that is a new pasuk. V'amdu shnei hanashim v'lo hanashim. We need a separate zeres hakasuk, and we cannot simply learn this from the fact that it is a mitzvah sasei shazman grama, because according to the understanding of the Sma, this really would not be considered a mitzvah sasei shazman grama. So now the Chasam Sofer in another place takes this a giant step further. Says the Chasam Sofer as follows. If the Sma argues over here that this nighttime is considered like daytime, if you turn the lights on, well then, says the Chasam Sofer, the Pasuk by Tzitzis says, Re'isa moso u'zachartem es kol mitzvos Hashem. If the Sma turned Laila into Yom, the Pasuk says, V'haya b'yom anchilu hasbanav. The Sma says, no, don't read it Yom, it means even Laila, as long as it's like Yom. Well then certainly where the only qualification that's necessary is Re'isem Oso by Tzitzis, argues the Chasam Sofer, we should say, that Tzitzis you have an obligation to wear even at night. Because as long as the lights are on, it's fulfilling the requirement of Re'isem Oso. So if the Sma was going so far as to say that Laila can turn into Yom with the lights on, well then certainly with regard to the halacha of Re'isem Oso, all you need is to see it. Well, if the lights are on, I should have the same obligation at night to wear tzitzis as I have during the day. So that's the argument of the Chasam Sofer. So these are all very fancy things. However, the Achronim say this is all a big mistake. The whole thing is a mistake. It's not true. The Sma's assumption in the first place is not correct. Chasam Sofer's taking that to another league and applying it to the mitzvah of tzitzis is also a mistake. But the Achronim have many, many questions in which they point out that they think that the Sma is incorrect. And one of those very fundamental questions that they have is from our Gemara. Our Gemara says, what happens if you have a case where Ra'u Bezdin V'chal Yisrael? You have everybody standing outside, everybody's looking at the moon, and now you go ahead and you set aside two of those individuals to serve as the Eidim for the Kiddush HaChodesh, and the Mishnah says, V'lo Hispiku, and we didn't have a chance to finish up and say Mekudosh, and now it's already nighttime. So what do we do in a case like that? The Mishnah told us that what we're supposed to do is wait till tomorrow. This Chodesh will be a Chodesh Me'uber. You wait till tomorrow and then you're Mekadosh the Chodesh. Ask the Achronim, what do you mean? Just turn the lights on. According to the Sma, why is the Mishnah so bothered? Light a few candles. Say Mekudosh HaChodesh. We're almost there already. Because you don't have a candle in the house, therefore we're going to say, everybody should say that last month was Chodesh Me'uber. Does that make sense? So they ask a lot of questions on the Sma, but I think it's an important Sma to be aware of regardless. Whether or not we accept it lahalacha or not, it's something that is discussed at great length by many of the Gedolei Acharonim. So now let's move on a little bit further from where we got up to last week. Let's look at the Gemara halfway into the Amud Beis, on Chaf Hei Amud Beis in the new Perek. So we have right here, Ra'u Bezdin, if a Bezdin is standing outside and they see the Levana. Yamdu Shnayim V'ya'idu Bifnehem. You should have two out of the three individuals who saw the Levana stand up as Edim, right? And they should be the ones who are giving the testimony. Ask the Gemara, V'amai, why is it necessary that you designate some of the people to serve as witnesses? Lo tehe shmiya gedola meri'iya, a very famous line of the Gemara, but lo tehe shmiya gedola meri'iya over here means that everybody saw the moon outside. So why do we have to have this whole procedure of Edim coming forth, and now you have Dayanim accepting the Edis? What do we need any of this for? Everybody stood outside. Everybody saw what was happening. Why do you need anything more than that? Amar Abzeira. The Gemara answers, Kagon Shera'uhu Balayla. We're talking about a case where they saw the moon at night, which is natural. You usually see the moon at night. And since you see the moon at night, therefore they cannot serve as a Bezdin Balayla. And Mekadosh HaChodesh Balayla. You're not able to be Mekadosh HaChodesh at night, just like you're not able to have a Redim Torah at night. And therefore, since they saw it at night, we say, you're going to have to wait till tomorrow morning. So yes, it's true, lo tehe shmiya gedola meri'iya. Really, there should be no reason for them to set up a whole process of having a procedure of edim and dayanim. There's no reason for it, but The reason is because this particular case in our Mishnah is where they saw it after it's already Tzeisak Kochavim. And since you cannot start a Din Torah after Tzeisak Kochavim, therefore we say they have to wait till tomorrow, and some of them will serve as Edim, and some will serve as Dayanim. Okay, now the Gemara says further. We look at the next Mishnah, at the next case in our Mishnah, which is Ra'uhu Shlosha Behein Bezdin. Let's say you have three people who see the moon, and they happen to be a Bezdin. Yamdu Shnayim, two of them should stand up and be designated as Edim. V'yoshivu Mechavreihem Eitzel HaYachid. So you have three people who see the Levana. We're going to separate two of those people who saw the Levana to now serve as Edim. One of them is going to be left behind as the Dayan. But now that one person left behind as a Dayan can't be a Bezdin on his own. You need to have three people in order to constitute a Bezdin. So we tell him, get a couple of your friends. Now sit down, three of you, you're going to be a Bezdin. And the two of us who originally had been together with you will now offer our testimony in front of you. Amai asked the Gemara the very same question. Hachanami Neima, why don't we say also, if three people are a Bezdin, and they're standing outside, and they see the moon, and they know it's Rosh Chodesh, Lo tehei shemiya gedola miriya. Why do we have to set up a whole procedure of Edim and Dayanim and looking into the Edim and finding out if they're telling the truth? What do you mean? We all saw it outside. Lo tehei shemiya gedola miriya. By seeing it alone, we know that now it's Rosh Chodesh, so we could just make the declaration right then and there. Why do we have to have anything more than that? Oh, that's the very next Gemara.
Oh, okay.
No, you're asking a good question. That's the Gemara's question. V'chitema hachinami, and maybe you'll say, yeah, you're right. Lo teishmir gedolah meri'iyah. Kigon shiru'u b'layla, but you'll say over here, just like we said before, the case is talking about where they saw it at night, and therefore they cannot proclaim, they cannot declare in the middle of the night that it's Rosh Chodesh, because you cannot have a bezdin at night. Hainu hach, that's the same as the first case that we just said. So what's the chiddush of this case? Says the Gemara, no. It's a whole different story. Sefer Tzrichale, we need this case in the Mishnah for a different chiddush. It's coming to tell me the following. Again, if you remember properly, we're talking about a case where you have three people standing outside, three people who are normally a Bezdin, they happen to see the Levana, they see the moon, and they know that it's now supposed to be declared Rosh Chodesh. So what is the procedure now? We separate two of them, we say you're going to be designated as the Edim, and now we have one person sitting here who's going to serve as the Dayan. But you can't be a Dayan by yourself, so now you pull in a couple of friends. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that you cannot serve as a Dayan by yourself. Why is that a Chiddush, you're asking? Of course, a Bezdin has to be three people. Well, of course. No? So let's see. So says the Gemara, Seifa Tzrichale, what do I need this case for? Te'ein hayachid neman ayidei atzmo. It's coming to teach me that you cannot have a person considered as a Bezdin by himself, which is obvious to all of us. The Salka Daita Chamina, I would have thought, which is what everybody would have been wondering, what's the Havamina? Hoel, that since we have a Mishnah in Maseches Sanhedrin, that teaches us, Dine Mamanus Bishlosha, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin teaches us that you need three people to serve as Dayanim whenever you have a case in monetary matters. Vim Hayam Mumchele Rabim, Dana Filibi Yachid, a lot of people came over to me that they read that my father was a Dayan Yachid for the Prime Grill case, or whatever, the whole, no, anyone, nobody read it? So it's a highly contentious case, but they couldn't come to an agreement of who the Dayanim should be. And for some reason, the two sides decided, we're only going to trust Rabbi Schechter, he's going to serve as a Dayan Yachid. How can you serve as a Dayan Yachid? A Dayan Yachid doesn't make you a Bezdin, right? So how could it be? The answer is, the Mishnah says there in Sanhedrin that if the parties wish, and it's somebody who's a Mumchele Rabim, who everybody knows is honest, who everybody knows is a Chacham and a Pikeach, you can choose that person should be your Bezdin. You don't have three people. That's the din. That's the halacha. The halacha is by dine mamanus, you can choose either a bezdin of three, or you can have even a bezdin of one, as long as he's a mumcham. Very problematic Rambam, because the Rambam says, even though you can have a choice of a bezdin of three or a bezdin of one, if you have a bezdin of two, ain't dine amdin. So what does that mean? Either you're a bezdin at one or you're not. So that's a major, major discussion. There, Soloveitchik is very excited about, and the Kesem Mishnah is very excited about. A lot of discussion about that, but we're not learning Sanhedrin. Maybe we will, but not right now. So that's what the Gemara says over here. I would have thought that just like by Dine Mamanas, I can have a choice of either having three Dayanim like normal, or you can be like Prime Grill and choose only one Dayan who's a Mumchele Rabim to take care of the whole case. So to over here, I should say, I have the same option. I can say either we can have a conventional bezin of three people, or we can choose that we want one person here who's a Mumchele Rabim, who everybody knows, who everyone recognizes. He's going to be the one to serve as the Dayan and be Mekadosh the Chodesh. Says the Gemara, Hachanami nikatshi biyechidi. We should say over here, just like by Dini Mamanas, I should have the choice as well. So again, if you have a case of three people who stand outside, who see the Levana, I should be able to designate two of them as Edim, one of them should be able to sit there, and he should be able to accept the testimony of his two friends. Why not? Kamash Malan says the Gemara, no. Why not? Ve'ema hachinami, it was a good argument. Wasn't it a good argument? If by Dine Mamanus we say that you can even have one Dayan recognized as a Besdin in order to serve on the case, so why shouldn't it be the same over here by Kiddush HaChodesh? Why not? Meaning, where do we draw the line? Okay, so let's see. Says the Gemara, Be'ema hachinami, maybe I'll tell you true. Says the Gemara, no, that cannot be the case. Because is there anybody in our history who's been more well known, more prominent, and more recognized than Moshe Rabbeinu himself? No, he's the greatest Adon HaNeviim. Everybody knows Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone knows he's honest. And still, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him at the time that he instructed us to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, he says, Adi'ika Aaron Bahadach. You cannot do this alone. You need Aaron. So you'll say, well, you need two. So Tosus says, no. Ein bez and shakel, you can't have two, because what if we get in a fight? You think it is Rosh Chodesh and I think it's not. So we always have to have an odd number in order to make sure that in case the two disagree with each other, we can have a third who's going to be Yachriya. What? So how could two brothers be Dayanim? Also a good question. So the Rishonim discussed this. So over here, Adi'ika Aaron Ba'adach, when the original halacha was taught of the Mekadesh the Chodesh, HaChodesh is Halachem, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Dichsiv, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe ve'el Aharon be'eretz Mitzrayim lemar haChodesh hazeh lachem." So we're coming to be taught that we need to have a bezdin that constitutes three people in order to accept the testimony about it being Rosh Chodesh. That's what the Gemara says. Exeris hakasim. So now we have a major problem. The major problem is
two.
What?
The only two
Moshe and Aaron. Satosa says, we always have a regular principle that ain't bezdin shakel. You can never have a bezdin that's equal of two people, because what if they're fighting with each other? What if Moshe is going to say, I do think it's Rosh Chodesh, and Aaron's going to say it's not? Now what do we do? So I would take Moshe over Aaron any day. But what if you have two Dayanim who it's not so obvious? What if one of the Dayanim is not Adon HaNeviim? Then what do we do? So that's why the principle always is ain't bezdin shakel. You can't have only two, because we have to have a possibility of Acher Rav Nahatos, of going after the majority of the Dayanim, whatever they come up with. So the problem is going to be as follows. We have a Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Sanhedrin, where the Mishnah says, Ein osin Sanhedrios l'shvatim, ela al pi bezin shel shivim ve'echad, which means, we used to set up court systems for each one of the shvatim. There was no reason why every time there was a fight in any given community, Shevet Menashe is having an internal fight. A landlord and a tenant get in some disagreement over a contract. So what, they have to travel all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu to go discuss it with him? No. Why don't we set up that in Shevet Menashe they're going to have their own Bezdin, and in Shevet Reuven's going to have, and Shimon's going to have their own? If you have a major problem and you don't know what to do, and it's beyond the scope of the Talmidei Chacham and the Bezdin in your own community, so then you go to Moshe Rabbeinu. But otherwise, you can just sit and talk to the Bezdin in your community. So how do we go ahead and appoint the Dayanim of any given Shevet? What's necessary? Who has the jurisdiction? Who has the authority to appoint them? So nowadays, this is a big controversy in Eretz Yisrael. Who has the right to appoint the Dayana for the Rabbanut? Same question. So in the times of the Gemara says, you need a Bezdin Shel Shivim Ve'echad, you need the Sanhedrin Argadol of 71 people to sit down and say, well, we're going to do a study in Shevet Reuven, we're going to see who are the most qualified people, and we're going to choose them as the Dayanim. Now we're going to go to Shevet Shimon, we're going to study everybody who's involved in Shevet Shimon, and we're going to tell them, you are the ones who are designated, any issues that come up, you're the ones who are going to take care of it. So you need a Bezdin Shel Shivim Ve'echad. Ask the Gemara there on Daf Tezayin, how do you know that that's true? How do you know that you need a Bezdin of Shivim Ve'echad? Who said? You need 71 people to go and do a whole study on each Shevet? Why don't you make a committee of three people, a Bezdin? They're going to go and study and figure out who the Talmidei Chachamim are, and they're going to be the ones to appoint the new Dayanim, the new Shoftim for each and every Shevet. How do you know you need 71? Says the Gemara, listen carefully. Minalan, how do I know that's true? Kida'ashkecham b'Moshe. Because we find this by Moshe Rabbeinu. De'uki Sanhedros. Because Moshe Rabbeinu actually did this. Yisrael gives Moshe an idea that what? He should go ahead and set up all these little courts around, that he shouldn't be so overwhelmed with the work that he has. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes around and he looks at Shevet Reuben and he says, okay, you're going to be the ones who are going to be in charge of Shevet Reuben. Then he goes to Shevet Shimon and he does a little study and he says, okay, you're going to be the ones who we're appointing to be the Dayanim for Shevet Shimon. Moshe Rabbeinu did it on his own. And therefore, right, I would have said, therefore, you don't need 71. But the Gemara is trying to bring this as a proof that you do need 71. So what's the proof? Says the Gemara, Moshe b'makom shimon v'achad kai. Moshe Rabbeinu counts like a bezin of 71. So therefore, we learn from there that from here on in, anytime we have to make an appointment of Dayanim for any given Shevet, it has to be done by 71 people. Now the Gemara here tells us that whatever power a 71 person Bezdin has, Moshe Rabbeinu already has as well. And we learn that from a Pasuk in Parshas Yisro, not important for now. Now listen to the Rambam. Problem is as follows. The Rambam says in Perek Aleph Hilchos Melachim Halacha Gimel, Ein ma'amidim melech betchila el al pi Bezdin shel shimon v'echad. Let's say the Jewish community decides, time for us to have a melech. We need a new king. We have to go through the candidates. We have to figure out who should be the melech. David, or should it be Yishai, or should it be Shlomo, or should it be this one, should it be that one? We don't know. So we have to convene a bezdan of shivim ve'echad, 71 dayanim. Bezdan HaGadol has to say, this is our candidate. Ve'al pi navi, you also need a navi, because you never know who's really right. So you need a navi as well as a bezdan shel shivim ve'echad. Kiyoshua, just like when we appointed Yehoshua, who was considered like a melech, he was the leader of the Jewish people. And who appointed Yehoshua? Sheminu Moshe Rabbeinu Uveis Dino. Moshe Rabbeinu convened together with his Bezdin, and they appointed Moshe Rabbeinu as being the next leader of the Jewish people. Therefore, says the Rambam, they appointed Yehoshua Ben Nun, thank you. So therefore, says the Rambam, we learn from there, that any time in history when you want to appoint a new Melech, you have to go ahead and do it with something the likes of Moshe Rabbeinu Uveis Dino. That's what the Rambam says. So the Brisker Rav asks, what do you mean? The Gemara tells us Moshe Rabbeinu himself is 71. So why does the Rambam say you need Moshe Rabbeinu ubeis dino? You didn't need a bezdin. Moshe Rabbeinu himself is 71. That's what the Gemara teaches us. So what does the Rambam mean here? Very problematic Rambam. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara tells us, in Sanhedrin had a status of 71. Right, now the Rambam says, what's the rule? How many people do you need in order to appoint a melech? No, but it's the same rule though. The Gemara says in the Rambam Paskins, you need a bezdin of 71 to appoint a melech, just like you need 71 to appoint Dayanim. Well, if we assume that Moshe Rabbeinu is considered like 71 over there, so then why isn't he considered like 71 over here? What does he need anybody else to help him out for? Just 1 second, hold on to your question. But now look in our Gemara, it's the same problem. The Achronim ask on our Gemara as well. Our Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says what? Moshe Rabbeinu, when the original institution of Kiddush HaChodesh was given over, Moshe Rabbeinu was told he has to do it together with Aaron HaKohen. What do you mean? Why does he have to do it together with the Bezdin? Moshe is the Bezdin. He's been on the Bezdin. How many Dayanim do you need to be Mekadosh HaChodesh? 3. Moshe Rabbeinu is 71. So what does he need anyone else? So this is a major, major problem in our Gemara. Yeah.
First of all, could we say that Aharon was the spokesman? So Moshe Rabbeinu could declare the Chodesh, but Aharon has the public stature of being the speaker.
It could be, so, but they were serving clearly as a bezdin, not as a spokesman and a decisor.
Right. And then but Pirkei Avos talks about, that Moshe had received the Masorah and passed it on to Yehoshua, and then Yehoshua was Canaan. Maybe Yehoshua himself had the status, like Moshe Rabbeinu, passed it on to Yehoshua.
Could be, but that doesn't help us for this.
Uh-huh.
Then you'll say when Yehoshua gave on the mantle of leadership, he should have been able to do it on his own. Right? Okay. But over here it says Moshe Rabbeinu needed some help. So this is a big problem.
They weren't up to appointing a melech at that point. They were bimei shvot hashoftim.
Okay. Okay.
The concept of the Sanhedrin that was established, when Yisro gave Moshe that
idea,
that was in the framework of the Sanhedrin as we accept it now.
I think so. Yeah, that was the idea. Yeah. So now let's go a little further and let's get into the question that you asked before. We're on the last line of Chaf Hey Amud Beis. The Gemara says we have a case where you have 3 Dayanim, 3 people who are standing outside and they see the moon. So what are we supposed to do? What's the procedure? You separate 2 of them as Adim, and you have the one is going to remain as being a Dayan. And then you add some others. Ask the Gemara the following question. Lameimra, do you mean to say the aid nasa dayin? You mean to tell me that somebody who's designated as a witness can now flip around and turn into a dayin? How can that be? Now, let's just, by way of introduction and just to understand this, we have a difference in halacha, I don't know what it's called in law, I'm sure there's a word for it, between an eid ha-meid and an eid ha-roeh. There are plenty of people who see things happen, but they never come forth and present their testimony. Right? That's what we call an eid ha-roeh. That's just somebody who sees an event happen, but doesn't do anything with that information. An eid ha-meid is somebody who has not only seen something that took place, but has now presented his case in front of a beis din. So this is a big question. When we assume that ein eid nasa dayan, we assume that an eid cannot turn around and now become one of the dayanim on the din Torah. What kind of witness are we talking about? What kind of witness are we talking about? Are we talking about an eid haroeh, or are we talking about an eid hameid? Are we talking about an eid who sees something take place? Once he sees, now you're disqualified to ever be a dayan. Or are we talking about an eid hameid? The only time you're disqualified to serve as a dayan is if you actually were involved in the case. Because now you have a prejudice. You came to the case. You already gave forth your testimony. You cannot turn around now and now become a dayan to adjudicate as well. You're on the other side of the table. So that's the question. That's the question. We have two categories of eidim. We have somebody who's an eid haroeh, somebody who just sees an experience that they happen to notice. And you have somebody who's an eid hameid. And that's the question. When we have a rule that ein eid nasa dayan, that an eid cannot turn around and become one of the judges on a case, which eid are we talking about? That's going to be the crux of our gemara. Now, just to understand this, when it comes to ein eid nasa dayan, there's a major question in the Rishonim, why should that be the case? How come an eid cannot become a dayan? How come somebody who serves as a witness cannot become a dayan? What's the reason for that? He's no get. So some Rishonim say as follows. Because we have a requirement whenever you have eidim who come forth to give their testimony, so we have a requirement that it has to be eidus she'ata yachol lahazima. It has to be in a form that if we catch them in a lie, we can penalize them, we can punish them. This way they're going to be afraid to say a lie. If there's no, not punishment, but if there's no
consequence,
there's no accountability, there's no consequence, thank you, for them coming forth and making up a lie, then how do we know that they're telling the truth? So we always have to have a situation where it's yachol azima, where we would be able to theoretically catch them in a lie and punish them for what they're saying. So over here, imagine, you have somebody serving as an aide. Now he's going to turn around to the other side of the table and serve as a dayan. Who's going to catch him in a lie? It's eidus she'ein ata yachol azima. So that's not good eidus. You have nothing to deter you from saying a lie. So that's why we assume that you cannot serve in the same din Torah as an eid and a dayan, because that's called einus she'iyat yachal azim. That's what some Rishonim say. Now the Mordechai asks a question, that doesn't make sense, because if somebody raises some fishy question about what's going on in the case, we can bring the whole story to another beis din and then prove that you have lied. We don't need a deal only within the context of this beis din in which we set up for this case to prove that you're lying. If somebody, an outsider, thinks that something's fishy here, if somebody thinks that we got to look into the story, how can you call that eidus she'ena teyachal azima? How can you say that I'm not going to suffer the consequence? Of course I'm going to suffer the consequence. You're going to bring me to another beis din and prove me to be a liar. Is that clear?
At what point is that? I mean, he hasn't yet been appointed a dayan.
So that's what the Mordechai says. We have to qualify the statement a little bit. Why should we assume ein eid nasa dayan? It's not the way we said it. It's not because ein ata yachal azim, he can never catch me in a lie because I'm never going to tell anybody that I'm lying. Rather, he says it's a little bit different. Very similar, but it's a little bit different. He says the understanding here is that it's ein ata yachal azim because the only time I can be caught in a lie is once a gemar din has been given, once a psak has been given, right? Once a psak is given, then we say, hey, how do we give a psak based on these false eidim? They were here at that time, they were there at that time. There's no way that they really experienced the story that they're presenting before the beis din. That's what we call eidus she'ata yachal azima. So over here, they'll never give the psak din. Why not? Because if it turns out later that you were a liar, then it turns out that the psak din that you gave was invalid also. Right? If you're going to serve, let's backtrack. If you're going to serve as an aid, you're going to serve as a witness, then you're going to turn around to the other side of the table and serve as a dayan, and then you're going to give a psak din based on the testimony that you yourself gave that you lied about, and then later on we're going to bring you to another Beis Din to disprove everything that you said and say that you were a liar, then it'll come out that I was a liar from day one and the psak that I gave wasn't a correct psak. So then you can't penalize me. Because the only time you can give a consequence to someone is when we actually took their testimony that they gave and did something with it. But over here, it would turn out lemafreya that we didn't do anything with it because there was no psak din. Because I was a liar all along. I was disqualified as a dayan. So that's what the Mordechai said. That's why ein ed nasa dayan. Everyone, is that understandable? Okay. So that's basically the idea.
On the point of
kasher zaman lo kasher asa. So kasher just means that if I already administered the punishment based off the psak din, then it's too late already. But that's not the case over here. Okay, so we have an Eid HaMeid and an Eid HaRoeh. So that's the question. When we have an Eid HaMeid and an Eid HaRoeh, how do we look at that? So says the Gemara, let's read together. Lameimra, do you mean to tell me de Eid Nasadayin, if the three of us happen to be standing outside and we see the Levana and we think it's supposed to be Rosh Chodesh, now you're going to tell me that we can now designate two of us as Eidim and the third one can now sit down and become a Dayin? Isn't that a violation of the principle of Ein Eid Nasadayin? Maybe you'll say that our Mishnah is not like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, the Tanya, because the opinion of Rabbi Akiva is Sanhedrin Sherohu Echad Sheharag Es HaNefesh. Let's say you have an entire Sanhedrin, 23 people, who see somebody walk into somebody else, cold-blooded murder. We watch everything that took place, and we know that he's guilty. Miktsasan Nasu Edim, Umiktsasan Nasu Dayanim Divrei Rav Tarfon. We're watching in the middle of the street, somebody, God forbid, walks over to somebody else with a knife, stabs him to death. He walks away, his hands are all bloody. We know exactly what happened. We watch what happened. So what do? Reb Tarfon is of the opinion, well, some of us will serve as Edim, some of us will serve as Dayanim, and we will prosecute this person who's now a murderer. Rabbi Akiva says no. Rabbi Akiva says, Kulam Nasim Edim. None of us can serve as Dayanim. All of us have to serve as Edim, and none of us are able to be serving as Dayanim. Why? Because Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. All of us witnessed the crime. All of us know what just took place. And therefore, all of us are now disqualified from serving as Dayanim on this case. Okay? So that's the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that Ein Eid Nasa Dayan, once you saw the crime took place, you can now no longer serve as a Dayan. Well, if that's true, how do you understand our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says you have three people standing outside, they see the Levana. We're going to designate two out of those three to now serve as Edim, and one out of the three is going to serve as a Dayan. What do you mean? How can I serve as a Dayan? I already saw everything that happened. Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. So the Gemara answers as follows. Afilu Tamer Rabbi Kiva. You can even explain our Mishnah based on the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Again, Rabbi Kiva was of the opinion that if you have a group of people that are a Beis Din, but they see somebody commit a murder, they cannot serve as Dayanim. All of them are Edim, and they have to go in front of a different Beis Din and present their testimony. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Kiva Hasam. Rabbi Kiva only said it over there, Ela Bedine Nefashas. That's only by a case of murder. Why? Dirachmana Amar Vishavtu Ha'eda V'Yitzilu Ha'eda. We have a special mitzvah that we're given that whenever we have a Din Torah about a murder trial, we have to do our best to try to find a schus for the person who's standing on trial. We have to really think carefully, are we really prosecuting the right person, or maybe he doesn't deserve the death penalty. If we all witness the crime, we all know from the outset what the end of the psak is going to be. We all know what happened. In a case like that, lo matzu chazulei schusa. Nobody in the right mind is going to conjure up any tzad, any reason why we should say this person is innocent. We all saw the cold-blooded murder in the middle of the street. Nobody can deny it. And therefore, in a case like that, specifically by dinei nefashos, we say that somebody who witnesses a crime can no longer serve as an aid. You're out. However, over here, aval hacha afilu Rabbi Akiva mode. Over here, where we're talking about Kiddush HaChodesh, we don't have a din by Kiddush HaChodesh with Shaftu Eid, Bitzilu Eid, to start saying, well, maybe it's not Rosh Chodesh, maybe it is Rosh Chodesh, oh, maybe. There's no din like that. There's no din like that. The halacha is when you have an Eid HaRoeh, if you have an Eid who witnessed the Levana outside, they are able to serve either as an Eid, or they're able to turn around and serve as a Dayan. Either one is fine. Either one is acceptable. However, when it comes to Dinei Nefashos, we paskin like Rabbi Kiva, that a person who watches, who witnesses a murder, is not able to go back later and serve as a dayan on the same case, because they will never be able to fulfill the requirement of v'shaftu ha'eda v'hitzilu ha'eda. Let's just close with one question. When we say that there's a halacha of ein eid nasa dayan, there is a question that some comment on. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayifen kovacho vayarki ein ish. Moshe Rabbeinu sees that nobody's there, and he goes ahead and he kills the Mitzri who was starting up with the Yehudi. And the question is, Moshe Rabbeinu over there is basically taking the law into his own hands, and he's serving as the dayan, but at the same time he was also the aid. He was the only one who witnessed it. Nobody else saw it. So you see a crime, you go ahead and you prosecute based on what you saw. Everybody agrees that ein eid nasa dayan by dina nefashos. So that's a question that they ask. Had Moshe Rabbeinu have a right to do that if ein eid nasa dayan? And that was a case of dina nefashos. You're going and prosecuting based on something that you saw, and you're the aid and you're the dayan. How can you do so? So the Chacham Tzvi says, well, over there was an eni Yehudi. Over there we're talking about somebody who wasn't Jewish. And therefore what? So he says, there's no din v'shaftu eid v'tzilu eid by a non-Jew. If the whole reason why ein eid nasa dayan is because of shaftu eid v'tzilu eid by din nefashos, over here by a nachri, maybe there's no din of shaftu eid v'tzilu eid. Anyway, something to consider, something to think about. And Mr. Shem, next week, we will continue.